Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
The scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus and Zacchaeus, the wee little man. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up at him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He is going to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to his house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was growing up in Connecticut, my family would go to visit my Grammy just outside of Boston several times each year. At some point during just about every trip, my twin brother and I would watch The Sound of Music with her. It was her favorite movie, and it's been one of mine since before I can even remember. I'd imagine many of you are already familiar with the story. It opens with beautiful shots of the Alps and the Austrian countryside, while the protagonist, the free-spirited Maria, sings about the beauty she finds in the hills. Meanwhile, at Naumburg Abbey, where Maria is a postulant, a candidate for admission, the nuns sing about how she is unpredictable, she's flighty, she's a headache and an angel, she's a clown, but she makes them laugh. She's a disorienting presence for the nuns, and they don't quite know what to make of her. Nonetheless, she claims that she has come to the abbey to find out what the will of God is and to do it wholeheartedly. Mother Abbess suggests that she go out into the world to see if the monastic life is really for her, and sends her on an assignment to be the new governess or private tutor for the children of Captain Von Trapp, a retired officer of the Imperial Navy whose wife had died several years prior. The captain has been raising his children with strict military discipline since the death of his wife, and it's clear that the children feel neglected and unseen by the captain. While they may act disciplined and obedient to his face, they've been actively rebelling by scaring off one governess after another with their mischievous behavior. The captain's disciplinary methods may give his family a buttoned-up, righteous kind of appearance, but it's clear that this has come at the expense of his children's happiness and their freedom to simply be who they are as children. Today's scripture passage begins by setting the scene. Jesus is passing through Jericho, a major center of trade and also a scripturally significant city, where Joshua led a conquest after the legendary fall of its city walls. Jericho had an important custom house, of which the man named Zacchaeus would have been at the head as chief tax collector. At this time, Roman territories operated under a tax farming system, where individuals bid on the right to collect taxes in a given area and then kept the excess they collected over their bid. It was a system based on greed and fraud. And if tax collectors only collected what was actually owed to Rome, there would be no personal profit and no incentive to collect taxes. As chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was in charge of other collectors who each paid to him, and he in turn paid the Roman overlords. Zacchaeus had amassed great wealth and great power, which he used to further exploit members of his own Jewish community while benefiting those who had put him and kept him in power. Imagine a scenario where someone with political power is willing to take from his people in order to try to amplify his own power with no regard to the harm it causes his community. There would likely be some resentment and righteous indignation. Jews in Jericho would have known that Zacchaeus was very important, the type of guy who could make things easier or worse for you. He was the kind of guy who many would treat with extreme, over-the-top courtesy to his face, while scorning and ridiculing him behind his back. They saw him to be a sinner because of how he treated them as a tax collector. While we may not often think of wealthy and powerful people as being outcasts, Zacchaeus certainly wouldn't have been welcome or wanted within his own Jewish community. This all makes the image of Zacchaeus running ahead of the crowd to climb a tree so he could see Jesus kind of humorous. A wealthy, powerful person like him wouldn't dare to be seen acting childish like this. It would have looked ridiculous. But Zacchaeus had likely heard of this Jesus guy who hung out with outcasts and forgave sins, and he had a deep longing to see who Jesus was. He wasn't thinking about appearances or trying to be anyone but himself, but his mind was simply set on Jesus. He was willing to honestly humble himself for the possibility of divine connection. Zacchaeus climbed the tree like a little boy, becoming childlike in his pursuit of Christ, and the stage was set for the turning point in the story. There's a kind of similar tree climbing scene that leads to a turning point in The Sound of Music. After Maria is introduced to the Von Trapp children, we see that she provides them with a merciful, compassionate presence, and they begin opening up to her as they come to trust her. She introduces the children to music, and they start to become more and more comfortable expressing their authentic selves and enjoying just being kids. One day, when the captain is driving back from a trip to Vienna, he sees his children climbing trees that line the road, looking ridiculous in the play clothes that Maria has made for them. When Maria and the children return to the house, the captain essentially orders them to stop laughing and having fun and change out of their clothes. He makes it quite clear that they're embarrassing him. He confronts Maria about their childish behavior and their silly clothes, and in a tense exchange, she doesn't back down but calls him out and tells him that he doesn't even really know who his children are. As one might imagine, this angers the captain, and he tells her to pack her things and return to the abbey. But right at that moment, he hears his children singing from inside the house, and we can see him undergo an immediate change. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, but it's more closely translated as a change of mind or a turning around. It indicates a profound, transformative change of heart and mind, signifying a shift in perspective and a turning towards a new way of being. You could say this is what the captain experiences when he hears his children singing. He's drawn to the sound of their music, and we see him genuinely smile for the first time as he joins them in singing and embraces them when the song ends. His hardened heart softens, and he undergoes a kind of conversion, humbling himself as he tells Maria, "I behaved badly. I apologize. I want you to stay." The mercy and compassion that Maria brought into the household has finally rubbed off on the captain. And from this point forward in the film, we can see him continue to become more childlike and connected with his children, and also Maria, who he eventually marries. Their relationship has been repaired and strengthened, and a sense of wholeness has been restored within the family. Back in Jericho, Jesus approaches Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree and surprises everyone by inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house, saying that he must stay with Zacchaeus. The language of necessity that Jesus uses, the Greek word day, which is translated here as must, is used throughout Luke and indicates that his fellowship with Zacchaeus flows from the divine will and is an integral part of Jesus' mission. So much for just passing through. The crowd grumbles with righteous indignation at Jesus' self-invitation to go hang out with the sinner who serves the oppressive empire. But Jesus' radically inclusive compassion and mercy extend to all, and he has come to seek out Zacchaeus. Rather than calling him out, there's no loud shaming, no public humiliation. Jesus instead calls him by his name, which means righteous one, and calls him in to relationship. Mercy begets mercy, as Zacchaeus, unprompted, has his own metanoia moment, and the walls of his hardened heart come tumbling down. He comes to stand before Jesus and pledges restitution, offering to return what he has taken and then some. When Zacchaeus says he will give to the poor, the verb give is in the present continuous sense. That means this is not just a one-time gesture, but it would become a continuing practice for the rest of his life. Zacchaeus is taking up Jesus' work as his own, setting off many jubilees for the poor and for those whom he has defrauded. This would have made a huge impact on the entire community, and especially for the poor and marginalized. Zacchaeus repents, turning his life around, And Jesus declares that salvation has come not only to Zacchaeus, but to this house, hinting at something broader. The Greek word for salvation here, soteria, indicates not only cleansing, but also wholeness, the wholeness derived from belonging. By repenting, Zacchaeus has been delivered from broken relationship with his people back into the wholeness of community. The concern for the proper use of wealth is a common theme throughout Luke's gospel, and it's a matter of distributive justice. The danger of personal wealth is that it can easily become an idol and can deprive others of what they need. It can put the rich out of right relationship with God and their communities. It can become a major barrier to keeping the great commandment, which Luke 10:27 tells us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Luke's version of the great commandment offers a unitive vision where self, God, and community are connected as one through free-flowing, dynamic love, a love that understands that those who have been lost and isolated from community must be brought back into the fold for the kingdom of God to be realized. Through the story of Zacchaeus, we can see that true righteousness doesn't have to do with personal piety or being right, but it's about being in right relationship with God and neighbor. Righteousness is a communal virtue and one that is impossible without mercy. Especially over the last decade or so, our society has become increasingly self-righteous, hostile, and polarized. So for me, this story raises some important questions. Questions I'd like for each of us to ask ourselves to consider. With whom do we identify in this story? Are we Zacchaeus? Can we humble ourselves to admit that there might be areas of our lives where repentance is needed? Areas where we've been dishonest with others or harmed them, whether directly or indirectly? Are we the crowd grumbling about who deserves or doesn't deserve mercy and compassion, and who should be included in or excluded from our community? Can we be Jesus and move beyond our grumbling and self-righteousness to recognize that in order to realize the kingdom of God, we must do what we can to call those with whom we might rather not associate into relationship? I've told our choir several times about how I love the sound of music, and specifically about how the scene I described earlier, where the captain hears his children singing, was the first time I remember being emotionally moved by the power and beauty of music. Our choir has had some musical moments that have brought me right back to that feeling, a feeling I can't think to describe any better than just being drawn completely into the moment of vulnerable, pure, totally connected being, removed from all distractions. Like the poet T.S. Eliot says, it's music heard so deeply that it's not heard at all, but you are the music while the music lasts. I wonder if this is the same feeling the captain had when he heard his children singing. I wonder if it's the same feeling Zacchaeus had when he heard Jesus call his name. My Grammy died almost 26 years ago when I was a senior in high school, but I still enjoy watching The Sound of Music from time to time. Chrissy and I have watched it with our kids in bits and pieces, although we've never gotten all the way through it. Life seems more crowded and busy these days, and to be fair, it is 3 hours long. But I still get emotional watching it. And as I've grown older, the story of the characters discovering and discerning who they really are as individuals, who they are as a family, and who their neighbors are in the midst of a Nazi takeover has taken on new and different meanings and become increasingly more poignant. My other favorite scene in the movie is when Maria, who is trying to discern whether it's God's will for her to return to the abbey or to explore her feelings for the captain, seeks counsel from Mother Abbess, who tells her, "You have to live the life you were born to live." She then launches into Climb Every Mountain, which is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, both musically and lyrically. I mean, it's like Rodgers and Hammerstein knew what they were doing or something. Mother Abbess sings, "Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream." In the midst of our crowded and busy lives, may we let the story of Zacchaeus remind us to be humble, to humble ourselves enough to climb the trees we need to climb in order to see Jesus and our own true selves. May we let Jesus remind us that hearts and minds cannot be changed and the lost cannot be saved without a willingness to build bridges over troubled waters and call those on the other side into relationship. And may we remember that God's dream includes all the different colors of the rainbow shining brightly together as one. May our God of mercy lead us home toward right relationship with all of our neighbors as we work to build the kingdom of God here on earth. In these divisive times, we must remember that righteousness begins with mercy, and everything in between is ground for transformation.